don't think there's a person in America who doesn't know the Stella Liebach story. She's the woman who sued McDonald's for the hot coffee that splashed onto her thighs at a drive-thru restaurant several years ago. Sued, was awarded a huge number, then it got knocked down by a judge and ended up not being the $300 million the jury had originally given her. But her name lived on in legend with the Stella Awards, which have been traveling around the internet for several years now, mostly propelled by my next guest. His name is Randy Cassingham. I've been aware of Randy for several years because I've seen some of the odd news stories he has found and used them as knuckleheads in the news stories on my show. Now he has not only written about those kind of lawsuits, but also others in a brand new book that is just out a week now. It's called The True Stella Awards, honoring real cases of greedy opportunists, frivolous lawsuits, and the law run amok. Randy, welcome to the Paul Harris Show.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
How much did Stella Liebach end up getting?
She was actually worth $2.9 million, but the judge knocked it down to $640,000, and then they went into some kind of a secret negotiation, so we don't really know how much she actually got. Could be more, could be less.
Okay, but she ended up with enough of a legacy for everybody to know her story. You use the word greedy and frivolous in the title of your book. There are real good tort reform cases, but you think it's out of control, right?
I think it is, and it seems to be accelerating. The actual total amount of lawsuits is really burgeoning and out of control, and I think the number of them that are frivolous is getting larger and larger.
Give me an example of some of your favorite frivolous lawsuits.
Probably one of the funnier ones is a guy in Montana who changed his name legally in court to Jack Ass, and a little bit later, the MTV show called Jackass came out, featuring people doing rather stupid stunts, and he said, hey, that disparages my good name, and he sued MTV for $50 million.
Yeah. And how much did he get?
He didn't get anything. The court threw it out saying, you know, you're a jackass.
Okay, now let me ask you about a case like that. The fact that the court threw it out, isn't that enough to say, you know what, the legal system is actually doing a pretty good job? You may have a bunch of pinheads who are filing lots and lots of these suits, but most of them don't actually get anywhere.
Some of them do get somewhere, but the bottom line is that there are so many of these cases, and I've got a book full of them now, that even simple cases that you'd think would be, you know, solved in an afternoon go on for 3 to 5 years because there's just so many of them, and it's just ridiculous.
Any idea how much they're costing American business?
That's an interesting question because most people think that tort reform is about big business, and it's not. Small businesses are actually affected more. The small business of, you know, like about $1 million in revenue per year, like a radio station, they spend about $17,000 a year fighting off lawsuits. And unlike big business, the smaller business generally don't have the insurance to cover them. So most of that, probably about half of it, is paid out of pocket.
They don't have liability insurance that covers that?
Either they don't have liability insurance or they have a high deductible or it just isn't covered.
You've got a case on your website now about a guy who is suing David Copperfield. What's that one about?
Yeah, this guy's a very interesting case. He says that there's absolutely couldn't be any earthly explanation for David Copperfield for, you know, doing the things he does, these magic tricks, and therefore it must be godly power. And the only way David Copperfield could have godly power if he stole it from this guy who's now suing them for part of his royalties, saying, hey, I'm the one that gave you that godly power because I'm God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How much does he want?
He wants $50 million also.
$50 million. It's always a nice round number. Nobody ever says 202,163.
Yeah, they do like to round it up, don't they?
How many of these cases really get settled for huge amounts? Because everybody thinks the Stella Liebach suit was a huge amount and others that are out there. How many of them are actually a 7- or 8-figure settlement?
And I really don't know the number because there's so many different courts and they don't all report to a central clearinghouse, so we can't really get the numbers. But the totals of all the cases, you know, frivolous and legitimate, and I do think that most cases are legitimate, is 2.3% of our gross national product now. It's an enormous number.
How do we reform things?
I think carefully. I think a lot of the tort reform groups, and I'm not associated with any of the tort reform groups, I'm totally independent, mostly they're out for a particular special interest, and they're looking for a certain Band-Aid, you know, like asbestos lawsuits or fast food lawsuits or something like that. And I think the Band-Aids won't really work. I think the problem is more societal, and we have to really talk about why it is that our society wants something for nothing.
That really is the bottom line there, especially for us here in St. Louis, right across the river from Madison County, Illinois, which people call the judicial hellhole, even though it doesn't really live up to the standard that would qualify it as a judicial hellhole. It's earned a reputation like that. But I think you're absolutely right. There's something societal in this. Let me take a break, and we'll talk about it just a little bit more here in a moment with Randy Cassingham. His book is called The True Stella Awards. It's the Paul Harris Show on KMOX. If you go to my website, harrisonline.com, I'm going to be putting up a link to Randy Cassingham's book, which is called The True Stella Awards. It is about frivolous lawsuits and the law run amok, as he calls it. Is the individual suing the problem, or are class action suits the real problem, Randy?
Class action suits are definitely a problem, and I don't think it's any one group that's to blame here. I think there's plenty of blame to go around. There are individuals suing individuals, people suing companies, and companies suing each other, too. Some of them get pretty darn silly.
Let's talk about some other silly ones. Give me a couple more favorites.
Well, this one isn't particularly silly. I mean, I try to be entertaining in the book, try to be kind of funny and amusing, because that's the way people will read it. Nobody wants to read legalese stuff.
Right.
But it's really talking about serious issues. And here's a case that has a different ending than you might think. In Pennsylvania, a man woke up in the middle of the night because he thought he heard a burglar, so he grabbed his shotgun and went out to check, and sure enough, there was a burglar, and he confronted the guy at gunpoint. And most people, they would probably give up at that point, but instead this burglar attacked him, even though he was armed with a shotgun. The homeowner feared for his life, shot the guy, and the district attorney investigated and said, no, this is totally righteous. He was, you know, in fear of his life and everything, didn't file any charges. Yet the burglar's family sued the homeowner, saying this is wrongful death, he shouldn't have shot him, and they won.
No, they didn't.
They won.
How much did they win?
They got $50,000, but in the meantime, that guy had to hire lawyers to protect him.
They won $50,000, and the guy not only lost 50 grand, but also had to lose his legal fees, and his insurance probably went up after that.
Absolutely. And it's an outrage. We were basically rewarding criminal behavior, and how does that serve society?
It does not at all. How does it, was that a jury verdict or a judge that made that decision?
That is a good question, and it was an arbitrator. It went to arbitration. Apparently the insurance company didn't want it to go to trial, which is interesting to me.
Wow, wow. You know, I mentioned class action suits as part of the problem here because just the other day I got an email. I'm a Netflix customer, and I got an email from them that somebody has filed a class action suit that they have settled that's going to cost the company $3 to $4 million. He says that when he signed up for unlimited DVDs in a month, he's really not getting unlimited DVDs in a month, that there is a limit to the number that they can send him. And so he sued on behalf of all of us, not that I asked him to. But as a Netflix customer, I'm now entitled to an upgrade in my service. So instead of getting 3 DVDs at a time, I can get 4 DVDs at a time for 1 month.
1 month.
That's my settlement. Now, here's the weird part about it, Randy, or maybe the typical part. You tell me. The guy who sued gets $2,000. The lawyer who filed this class action suit for him gets $2 million. That's why Netflix has to put aside $3 to $4 million, not for the guy who sued, not for people like me. And by the way, I'm not even going to take the settlement, and I encourage others not to take the settlement because it's stupid. I don't want to be part of this class. But the lawyers are making out with more than $2 million here.
That is, you asked if that's typical or unusual. It's typical. In fact, the guy who filed the suit that got $2,000, he probably got more than a lot of these people do. I have seen it where they really literally get nothing, yet the lawyers get millions.
Give me one more good story before we run here.
One of the, you know, it's another serious case in California. A couple of women took their mother into the hospital for a routine procedure because the mother had cancer and it was just supposed to be a quick in-out visit. But during the procedure, they nicked an artery in the mother, one of the mother's arteries, and she was bleeding internally. And so they had to rush her to surgery. Now, you'd think maybe these women would sue for medical malpractice, but they didn't. They sued for needless infliction of emotional distress. Not distress on the mother, but distress on them because they were witnesses to the mother being rushed off to surgery.
And that freaked them out so much they probably had to be in therapy, and that cost them money. And so someone has to pay, Randy.
That's what they say. Now, here's what happened. It got thrown out. It got reinstated by appeals. It made it all the way up to the California Supreme Court before it finally got thrown out. But here's what would really happen. If that had succeeded, there's no way that doctors could ever let a family member be there during a medical procedure just in case something went wrong. So if you took your kid to the emergency room, doesn't matter if he's crying, screaming, scared, you wouldn't be there for your kid. That's what would happen. That's how serious this is.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. That's a great point. The book is called The True Stella Awards, honoring real cases of greedy opportunists, frivolous lawsuit, and the law run amok. As Randy points out, it's not all wacky stories. There's some serious stuff here. I've been a reader of thisistrue.com, your other website, for a long time, and there's great stuff on there. And I'll point people also to stellaawards.com, where they can find out more about the book and get other samples like the David Copperfield case that you've got on there right now. And thanks for your time.
Thank you, Paul.
Randy Cassingham here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.